This is how I like to describe the music business. The people that's trying to get in it are running as fast as they can, but they're running in circles. You can be the worst person in the world, but if the world likes your music, it don't matter. You should want to be in this because you love being creative and you want to be great. You shouldn't be in this because you're trying to get some money because it ain't enough money. By the way, this business is all cap. Like, not in a bad way, but once you start understanding the rules that have been put in place, it's like, damn, you don't need to know everything about the music business to become filthy rich in it. You need to know everything about what you're doing and how to sell it to the audience.
Yeah.
If you know that, dog, you know how many people that were in bad deals? Dog, Drake was signed to 3 people.
It has to work or it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davidson. Today, I got a special episode, man. One of the businesses I've been intrigued by is the music business, right? Meaning from publishing to how artists get paid. Like, I'm not going to probably do music anytime soon, but I always just wanted to know, like, because it seems like no one knows about the business. I had the opportunity to meet this amazing brother, Pinky Coles the Session. When I say the dude was just so brilliant in just business in general, I had to bring him on a pod to teach me some of the music business and just so y'all could just hear a story about how he is crushing it. So without further ado, man, I want to bring on my guy, Ray Daniels. What's up, man?
My brother, thanks for having me, man.
So what are you considered in the music? I know you said exec, A&R. Like, you wear a lot of hats in this game, bro.
Yeah, it's very separate. You know, I started off as a manager. I really started off as an intern. I didn't even know if I wanted to be a manager, but it was kind of the
Who's
only
Who's you interning for?
So I was interning for this radio guy.
Yeah.
It was like my first realistic understanding of the business. And, you know, he's still in it. He was like president of, he was head of national director of radio for Interscope. But mind you, I don't know nothing about the business by now. So I'm thinking that that's a big deal. It was a big deal. But what I did was I really was work as an intern, but I would say I interned at Interscope. I wasn't a real intern at Interscope, but I was interning for a guy that was doing promotion. So I said I was an intern and for Interscope. And, you know, what I noticed was how it was all game. It was like street. It was like the music business is so fake in a way because the music business is subjective. It's very subjective, but people remember how you treated them when they was nothing. So what I noticed about these guys was that anytime somebody would come in, they would tell them what they wanted to hear. And then when the meeting was over, they would, and mind you, they didn't let me in the room. I just was like, I'm a hustler, so I'm ear hustling. I'm hearing them saying, man, shit, man, he got money. He could do this. We gonna get that. And then I started like hitting them with stuff. And I'm like, yo, bro, like I got some friends from my side of town. They got like $1,000. They trying to get some records promoted. And they was like, $1,000, we got them. And I was like, you didn't even hear the music. You know, cause this is what I'm thinking. Naturally, you should hear the music first. But their job wasn't to hear the music. Their promo guy's job, they don't have input in what they work. They just work what they got to work. So I just watched how they was like selling dreams. And I was like, oh shit, can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, oh, I could sell dreams. I could do that. And, you know, he would give me like, this is how I got here. Ironically, it was him. He was trying to build a publishing company with songwriters, right? And when he was doing that, he would basically say, I was the guy that would drive the writers where they needed to go. So on this one day, one of the writers I was driving was the guy who I'm with right now.
You say drive?
Like, literally, I was an intern. Okay, my job was to take the writers to and from the studio.
Yeah, okay.
And he would give me like $10 and be like, here's $10, get you something to eat, and pick such and such up from Stone Mountain, take him to Alpharetta, take him back to Stone Mountain, come back here. I'm like, bro, that's like $7 worth of gas ain't gonna get me that far.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I didn't care. I just wanted in. And, you know, one of the guys they gave me was this guy, Teron, who I still manage to this day. He probably is the biggest songwriter in the world. And
is that the guy you put on your Instagram?
When I said the GOAT, yes, that's my guy.
Lotto music.
He wrote Lotto.
He be in the car doing videos.
Yes. So Teron was one of the writers that they were considering. And we were so broke the day we met that I picked him up from Stone Mountain, took him to Alpharetta, which is, if you're not in Atlanta, that's far. That's like far. And the guy he was working with named Mondo Colleone, this is the first time I've ever been in a mansion in my life. And he was like, yo, you dope, come back tomorrow. So Teron looked at me like, come back tomorrow. Okay. And then we got in the car and he was like, Ray, Teron didn't drive at the time. He's like, I don't have no way to get back here. Can you bring me? And I was like, bro, I don't have no money to get here. now. And I was, he was like, well, stay at my house. So the first day I met him, he had a room set up for his daughter and I slept on that bed. So yeah, so I was, so he offered to stay at my house and it's like we instantly became best friends. And later on, 3 years later, I wound up being his manager. And man, that was 2006. What, 17 years later, we still here. And he still, he got bigger every year. Unlike, and in our business, you don't get big every year when you're black. Black people have an expiration date in our business. Yeah. It's just the way our culture is very trendy. So for the fact that he's here 16 years later and we had our first hit on the radio in 2007, and now he has the biggest song in Spotify, the fastest growing song in Spotify history.
Wow.
Ever. Today says a lot about who we are.
Wow. What song is that one?
It's this song named Seven featuring Latto by Jungkook. He's the lead singer for BTS.
Okay.
So literally we broke the record for the fastest growing song. I think we was the fastest growing song to 100 million in Spotify history.
Wow.
And now I think it's at like 350 million, like almost 3 weeks later.
Let me ask you this. How does a writer get paid, number one? I'm always curious to know that. How does a writer get paid? And when you say they wrote a song in 2007 that was a hit, do you still get paid from the song from 2000?
Yes.
Tell me, I want to know about the business.
So like you don't know. Okay,
stuff.
So first of all, songwriters.
I'm oblivious to
I got
to
you.
This
first of all, songwriters are, this is why I'm great, by the way. I'm greater than most people that do what I do because I manage the guy that's not supposed to get paid, right?
You manage the guy that's not supposed to get
paid. Yeah, because songwriters don't get paid, right? So songwriters
in general, you mean?
No, they don't like, okay, so you can be a okay producer, but if someone wants to buy one of your, somebody wants to purchase one of your songs, they have to buy the beat from you.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy a song from a songwriter. So songwriters, 95% of songwriters in the music business don't get paid nothing.
They get paid for their song.
Royalties.
Okay.
But that can take 9 months. It takes 9 months from the release to come, number one. And number two, man, you know how many songs is in dispute right now where nobody's being paid and the songs, the music is just being, the money is just being collected because in our business, you can't pay anybody royalties until an album is completely licensed. By the way, this business is all cap. Like, not in a bad way, but once you start understanding the rules that have been put in place, it's like, damn, that's how y'all do it. Okay, I get it. So I manage songwriters, they don't get paid. The way songwriters get paid is, okay, so me and you, the producer, I'm the songwriter. We just sold a song to—
Explain to me what a producer is.
The producer is the music. The producer is the person that makes the music. By the way—
That makes the beat.
Yes. By the way, the only reason why producers get paid and songwriters don't.
Swiss Beats producer.
Timbaland producer. Produces. Yes, Jermaine Dupri producer.
Dream songwriter producer.
But because he's so big,
yeah, he gets paid.
He's a producer. That's how my guy is. My guy is, I don't care who he's working with, unless it's like Dr. Luke, who is like the biggest probably producer of all time, or one of them for sure. Dr. Luke, he produced, Doja Cat signed to him.
Okay.
Kesha was signed to him. We were signed to him. Okay. As artists, but my guy gets paid and whoever wants to work with us, like before we even go into the room, because I know you don't pay, I tell you from the jump, I don't know if you pay songwriters, but we gonna get paid or the song's not getting sold.
Yeah.
And I don't give a damn what kind of deal you cut with the writer, with the producer. But in our business, the producer gets paid, the songwriter doesn't. Here's why. Because the songwriter used to maintain 100% ownership of the song. The producer was hired. So let's say you wrote a song for Luther Vandross, right? Mm-hmm. Luther Vandross sung a lot of covers. Like, I know a lot of people don't know that he sung a lot of covers. So if you sing in a country cover, it's the same words, but now it's for a black audience. So now I need to hire Neo to come produce the new version of the same song. So now I'm going to pay you $20,000 and I'm going to give you points on the song. Right. I'm not going to give you publishing. People don't know Quincy Jones didn't get publishing from those Michael Jackson records. He was the, unless he wrote, he was the producer of the record. So he got his points and his fees and all the writers that was writing for MJ was signed to him. So he made money that way also. But for the most part, he didn't get paid publishing on those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how you set it up, because you're good.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid for being a writer.
You get paid your royalty. So a
song. But I mean, I get paid how you set up. You're going to pay me for writing this song
and
I'm going to
get
my royalties
my
and points.
Yes. Got yes, you're going to pay me.
Yeah.
Period.
Now, with it paying me, do I got to give me that now or you could, I don't mind working it out,
give that
to me later if they
give,
ain't got
no,
it.
Give it to me when you decide you're keeping the song. Okay. Because until you keep the song, I can play it for somebody else.
Mm.
Until you buy it, I can sell it to anybody. Now, yeah. If I cut it on your dollar, which means you pay for the studio time, this means you like, Ray, come write a song for me at my studio. respectfully, I can't just run out and sell a song because you paid for the creation of the record.
Yeah.
But if I wrote a song at my studio, you can't tell me what I could do with that.
Yeah.
Even if you want it. If you want it, you got to pay me.
Okay.
Period.
Got it. So publishing. Tell me about... So when I produce a song...
Yep.
From scratch, we got the person who's the beat. That's the producer.
Producer.
We got the person who writes the song, unless the artist write. Yes. How many of these rappers writing their songs, bro, out of 10?
Most of them are.
Okay. All right.
Most rappers are rapping their own music, but that's also why rap is suffering. Because they're selling lifestyle. They're not thinking about the audience and making hits.
I think you put up a post about that the other day. Like music,
like
before music was basically selling itself because it was good music.
Yes, like
now today, lifestyle sell the music, but the music not good.
Like, let me understand why I said that. So somebody like NBA Youngboy, right?
Yeah.
Huge. Have you ever heard one of his songs on the radio?
No.
No, you don't. Because he's selling a lifestyle and the music matches the lifestyle and it goes straight to his audience. So if you like him, you like him. But he's not making music for the masses. He's making music for people that like his lifestyle and who he is.
Right.
And then you have other artists, these bigger classic artists who sold millions of records just putting out music, throwing music out there like new single drop, check me out. And I'm like, we have access to too much information, so you have to give us the story also. So like Usher, for example, that's probably the biggest R&B album in the last 30 years, right?
Mm.
I'm gonna use him, Confessions. Confessions had a story. We thought he cheated on Chili. We thought he had a baby. We found out 10 years later that it was Jermaine's story.
Wow.
But we thought it was Usher's story, so we bought into it.
Wow.
Then you have Beyonce with Lemonade. What's Lemonade mean? Well, the title, the album's called Lemonade, but the concept is when life gives you lemons. You play the album, you hear the shit she's going through. So now it's like, oh, that's the lemons, and the music is the lemonade. Mm. So she's selling you a story. So most artists think they're selling music. They look at themselves through this is compartmentalized. This is what I do, but here's my song. And it's like, no, your song has to match what you do because we have access to too much information.
Yeah.
So when Jay-Z says 444 album, what is that? I woke up at 4:44 in the morning and realized I'm messing up, about to lose my family. I got to get my stuff together. That was his response to Lemonade. He admitted he messed up. You almost lost the finest girl in the world.
Yeah.
He telling you the concept. That's why it works. But Jay and Ye and Beyonce and all these bigger artists, they're so brilliant that they understand that part.
Yeah.
Like, you know how people say, I miss the old Kanye? Yeah, that means that there was a point in time where you probably connected to him.
Yeah.
He ain't there no more.
Yeah.
That's a compliment
to
say, I miss the old you. That means you have grown into something else. And that's what life is about, growing.
Yeah.
So artists just don't understand that, man. Like, they just don't. They just think it's about music. Like, I'm going to make a song called, you know, dancing because I feel like dancing, but then why are you dancing? Like, are you dancing because you happy? Is you and your husband dancing? Are you dancing? Luther Vandross said, I want to dance with my father again. He's telling you,
real.
It needs to be connected to, needs to be the soundtrack to what people think you are.
Yeah. Tell me about publishing, bro. Cause I'm starting to grasp a little bit of it. Now publishing, you mentioned
Quincy produced.
Produced stuff for Mike, but he didn't own the publishing.
No, because he was listed as a producer, which means he gets paid royalty. So now, because of how the music business is set up, producers gets paid twice. They get paid publishing royalties, and they also get paid royalties from the song, points from the song also.
Don't they get paid for the beat too?
Exactly. The money for the beat is recouped from the points that they gave you.
Okay.
So if I gave you $20,000 and 4 points, I got to get my $20,000 back, and then I'll start paying your royalty on the 4 points that the artist owned.
Okay.
So when an artist gets signed, say if it's your artist signed to a label and you got 20 points on your deal, right? Which is basically 20%. They didn't say, they said points because points doesn't sound as egregious, I guess, or doesn't make you feel like such a savage than saying, I get 13% of your album.
Yeah.
But if you say I get 13 points, I don't know what that means, right? So it's points. So a producer gets paid. So if an artist has 20 points and I produce on your album, you got to give me whatever my rate is and then points out of your cut. So you got 20 points on every song, I get 4 points from one song that I produced.
As of my 20?
Of the song, yes, out of your 20.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So out of an album of 100 points, me as the artist only getting 20?
That's if you're in a good deal.
That's if you're in a good deal.
That's if you're in a good deal.
This is why all these artists are going independent right now, because...
Well, this is why artists are speaking about ownership, masters, things of that nature, because artists have figured out now, you've seen all these exits. In our business, we're just selling catalogs. So you're seeing like such and such sold his catalog for $100 million. That's because he owned it. Yeah. So now artists are thinking like, man, I have to own my stuff. So, you know, it just depends on where you are in your career and how much leverage you have.
See, now that's a whole nother. So we got publishing, now we got masters.
Yes.
So masters, let's say this. Masters, for example, this stuff is confusing. I see why people get got in this thing. This thing ain't cut and dry and simple. Like I do marketing, digital, it's cut and dry, it's simple.
I could break down masters and publishing for you. Yeah. Okay, so.
I want to ask you this, catch this. So if I own 20% of my album, do I not own my masters?
No. You own 20% of the cut, the net cut. Everything gets charged to you first though. So you own 20% of the net cut. So you might have, you know, 20%, like for example, my guys, we had a song that sold, I think, 7 million worldwide, and we still unrecouped.
Wow.
We unrecoup 8 years later because we get paid a royalty, and that royalty gets charged to us. So we can't even sell our piece yet because we still owe the people money.
Wow.
Yeah, so you don't own most artists don't own their master. It's something that usually comes later or comes with leverage. And now, by this point,
I could go to a deal. I got 10 million on social media. I'm already cooking. Y'all want to own my stuff because I might just need y'all for distribution.
Yeah, and you can. You can own your
stuff. Because you got leverage. But when you don't got leverage, you got to give up a little bit of something.
Like most artists get their masters back when they re-sign their deal. Because if you re-sign your deal, that means you've been successful enough for us to make our money back. Now you're like, oh, you want to come with us? Not only that, I can offer you the most money because I own the back catalog, which means I'm going to get my money back whether you're here or not. So if you want 30 million here. Yeah. I'm keeping this though.
Yeah.
And that's going to help me with my market share, and I'm going to make all the money.
But don't you got like, I'm assuming labels that sound like they're treating artists like startups. Like you might invest in 10 to get one.
Oh yeah, for sure. They invest in 10 to get one. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the game. They play that game from jump. They throw it at the wall. Whatever works, they chase it. Whatever don't, your stuff wasn't that good.
Because when I think about a Uzi, rock star, he's out of here. Like somebody pick up a Uzi.
Yeah.
But I saw Uzi, like he had a problem with his deal at first.
Signed to a subsidiary.
Yeah.
So it's a dirty game, man. Like it's
subsidiary mean a smaller.
Generation Now.
He's
basically Don group. Cannon, Lake, and Drama started a company called Generation Now, and he was signed to the company. And
the deal wasn't favorable for him.
It probably wasn't even favorable. It probably wasn't even favorable for Generation Now. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Like it wasn't like their deals get better as time goes on. Yeah. That's why it's a dirty game because damn.
You don't know you're gonna go to superstardom. Like when you sign
and now when
deal.
They do, they wanna switch things up. And now they switching things up usually means cutting you down. So now you're like, I don't wanna be cut down. I wanna keep going the way I'm going. So I think that's what happens most of the time. Like with Meg. Like Meg is like, damn, my stuff working now. Let's change our deal. And Carl is like, man, like, can I get my money back? Can I give me 2 years of making money? Like, can I just, like, let me, like, I gave you this much money. I invested money not knowing I'm going to get my stuff back. And I gave you this much money. And now that it's coming back, I can't get paid.
Yeah.
And artists talk back. That's why this business is so hard. I always say I put a music entrepreneur against an entrepreneur in any business because you selling products. You can call a product whatever you want. You can call a product Neo's. And it's like, probably ain't gonna say nothing. With an artist, they talk back. I don't wanna do that. They start getting exposed more. Now they got different people around, different girls, different guys.
Area.
They smoking better. They drinking better liquor. They have fanfare. And nobody wants a reminder of where they came from when they on that moment. Like, if I walk in the room and everybody's treating me like God and you the one person like, hey, chill, like you know what's up. I don't want you around no more. I like feeling like God, and you remind me that I was once a human, and I don't want to be a human no more. I want to be a God, and they usually try to get rid of the person that brought them in the game. It's a dirty game, but it is what it is at this point.
What you think right now? New artists should go get that machine behind them, or go ahead and do independent.
An artist has to be the machine now. The machine cannot benefit you. Like the only thing a major label is two things a major label does that independent artists can't do. The first thing is that they're uniform, meaning, so let's say if you're independent, right? And you're like, I know I need marketing, I need digital marketing, I need playlisting, you know everything you need, right? The problem is that the people that you're talking to, so you hire this company to do playlisting, this company to do digital marketing, this company to do marketing, this company to do PR. none of them have an alliance to each other. So you have to run every play. So your PR person can be like, yo, I would have did my job if your marketing person was better. That can't happen at a major label because everybody reports to the same person. And that person ain't playing. Like, hey, you do your part, you do your part. And if something goes wrong, you know who to blame. Unlike independent, it's like, I did my part. It's on them. It's just, it's that's the part that makes it dirty. And the second thing that labels do is they spend money at radio. They spend money to get you a larger audience. And I promise you, if a major label is putting out 100 songs a month, they probably taking 5 to radio. So what are you really getting from a major label?
When you say taking it to a radio, just so I understand, when I'm hearing a song playing on a radio, somebody's actually paying to play that on it? It's not
they're not paying to play the song on a radio, but they are doing things to get favor.
Yeah.
Right? So they might not say, here's $10,000, play my song.
Yeah.
But they might say, hey, I want to do a huge dinner for everybody at the station. And I want to give you guys all this book.
Yeah.
Here's this book. Those things cost, but those are the things you have to do to get favor. So you have to spend money because radio is the only thing that gets you a larger audience. The only thing that guarantees you a larger audience. It's just
outside of social media now, though, right?
Outside, but that doesn't mean nothing on social media. And what I mean by that is like you might put out a video that gets 1 million views and you might put out a video that gets 100,000 views. Radio, we have an average listener of 3 million people a day. So because of that, I know I'm going to get that many ears. That's what it is.
Hey, I was hearing my guy Bizzo talk about looping. What that mean? Like, you're an artist. He'd be like, well, it's the looper on the beat. And
okay, so
I'd be really sitting there online trying to learn this stuff. I'm like, yo, this stuff
okay,
is...
Let me tell you what happens. So now, most producers are... I mean, how can I say this? Like, okay, there was a point in time where you had to make... They had to play an instrument to produce, right? You play an instrument? Okay, so if the producers had to play an instrument, but now because everything is so digital, all you need is a looper. So Jack Harlow, was popping. That song was made by a looper. So a producer takes that song, adds drums, other stuff around it, and uses that loop as a lead part of the melody and the beat. And, you know, loopers used to be... loopers used to be able to just get, you know, like here's 1500 for the loop, but now they figured out, it was like, now I want publishing. So now what is a loop worth? Like, think about it. Like, I know one of my producers did 6 on Donda. One of the songs we used a loop, and you know, they was a loop. My guy produced it. My guy was with Kanye every day. So we looked at it like, yo, here's what we're going to give you. And their lawyer was like, nope. We want 25% of the beat. You did a loop and we placed it. So now I got to fight with the lawyer. We fight it out. We come up to a percentage, and now the looper gets a percentage. And usually this looper in particular was like living overseas and just making sounds and putting them in like 8-bar loops and sending it off to like 1,000 producers.
Yeah.
So the game is changing because people are now realizing like, damn, like, I start off as a looper just as an experiment to see if I can make some money. But now I'm realizing if I would have asked for a percentage, I could have got way more money. So now I want that. So now all the loopers start just saying we want percentage. And it just makes the game way more difficult because a producer might come in the room with a beat and now I'm placing it. Now it's time to pay you. And I'm like, yo, Neo, I'm going to use that song you gave me. I'm going to use that beat you gave me. And you're like, okay, cool. How much you want? I got to make a phone call. Wow, I bought the beat from you. I got a looper involved now. Oh my God. What do they want? Yeah. You might want 20 and they might want 10. Now I'm paying 30 and you didn't tell me that you use the looper. So it kind of makes it problematic from that standpoint.
I was watching a video. I wish I remember. But Burna Boy, they said one of his biggest songs.
65% went to Toni Braxton.
Yeah, tell me how that, I'm trying to get how, what do you.
If it's.
That probably gave, she up right now.
Well, yeah, but.
When you say a song, just say 65% of, what does that mean? Meaning if the spins, shopping pot paying out, like what does that
mean?
Okay,
so it just means that, okay, so every time a song plays, there's a payment for the map. So, okay, so it's a little complicated. I'm gonna simplify it. So there was a point in time where if you bought the CD, you were buying the master recording, right? You were buying a copy of the master recording. But that recording has, I'm gonna use the book. This, the master recording, is the book. The words, I'm selling the book, right? Mm-hmm. The words was written by somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I have to pay them a part of, I have to pay them a royalty because they wrote on the book. I own the book though, but you wrote the words. So I'm gonna take my cut, I'm gonna send you your cut. And that's the best way to explain it. So you get master recording royalties, but now, because that was old days, now streaming is prominent how they make money. So I'm listening to the master recording streaming wise. And now for every streaming, master gets paid six times what publishing is. So let's say if we have me and you, you own a master, I'm the writer and producer. I own 100% of publishing. You just sung the song.
Yeah.
Song goes platinum. You make, or for platinum song, you make $540,000 from a platinum song in master royalties. If I wrote the whole song, I make 90.
So you, I'm on 90,000.
90,000. So I make 90,000 for writing a song. So I wrote the entire song. So I own the publishing. You own the master. You get paid 540,000. I get paid 90. So it becomes
every,
very unfair.
Every platinum song is 630,000 paid out.
Yes. Yes. So
630 and 540 go to the person who produced it.
Person who owns it. The person that wrote it and produced it, they share 90.
So if I'm the label, they wrote it and they produced it, but I own the label, they coming under me.
You pay the producer a fee.
Yep.
Now you paying for him to own the master. Now you own the master. Now you make the lion's share of the money. Now, if you're the label and the artist is signed to you, so out of your $540,000, depending on what they deal have, you have to pay the artist also.
Yeah.
But publishing, you got to, whoever owns that, the label don't care about publishing. That's for publishing companies.
Well, you said something, because I want to know how to go make a hit. You said there's two ways you make a hit offline, something about magic and what was
science.
That?
Okay, so
tell me
there's
about
two ways to approach music, magic and science. Science is just as amazing as magic, right? If you think about it, like I could put a mothball in a Coke can and it is true. But the only difference between science and magic is that I can explain to you how I did it. So you can do it. Mm. Magic is the allure of how I did it. So you're like, wow, how did he do that? So,
but they don't even know how they did it.
Well, they do, because they're magicians.
Got it.
They tricking you, right? They've shown you one thing, but they know what it is. So magicians are that. So the problem is that no one pays to see a scientist. Everybody pays to see a magician. Right? So most of these people that are in the music business have moments of success. So if you ever see somebody with a 2 or 3 year run, they was just magic at the moment. They was magic. We loved the trick. We loved what they was doing and it worked, but we moved on.
Young Ma.
Yeah. Well, Young M.A. Exactly. Yeah. If Young M.A. knew what she was doing, she would have done it 10 more times. Am I right or wrong? But she doesn't. She just made a dope record. It worked. It caught. And now it's like,
hot kids,
exactly.
Too.
But you got people like Drake who he knows what he's doing. So when he makes Views, he knows he wants to bring in that Caribbean vibe to what he's doing. He knows that he wants to, when he does this album, when he does the album with 21 Savage, he knows where he's going with it. So he's not making records for the sake of making records. He's making records because he knows exactly who it's for. So even if you don't like that, what's the album that Drake dropped that came out that was like you listened to on an island? It's like I Never Liked You or something. It was recent, it was like within the last year. And then they was like, if you don't like it, it wasn't meant for you. It was meant for people who getting money and traveling overseas.
Heard that.
Remember that?
I heard that, yep.
That's science. I know who it's for. It's not for you. Magic is, I'm just gonna make the best thing I could do and put it out and hope people like it. Mm. So, you know, man, I come from nothing, right? And not only did I come from nothing, I was never told I could be nothing by nobody, right? And I remember, you know, I retired my mom from working in 2013. My mom called me like, I don't want to work no more. I said, don't work. I got you from this day forward. Mm. When you have that kind of responsibility, you can't afford to be on luck.
That's a fact, bro.
So you got to learn how to make hits.
Or mom going back to work.
And my mother is never driving a school bus again. My mother will never work again. She's going to live the rest of her life living amazing. And the only way I can guarantee that was to learn the science of how to win.
Yeah.
So I started working with for L.A. Reid. L.A. Reid understood the science. Now, mind you, it's a lot of people who are both, right? Kanye is both. Drake is actually both, right?
Kanye definitely different, bro.
Yeah, but Kanye is, he knows what he's doing. It's like, as much as he can understand that, you ever hear him talk about music? He's like, the chakras in this song does this. It's like, how do you know? Like, that's scientific, right? But he also understands how to look magical. He also understands the presentation when he walks out on the MTV stage with a red suit on and nothing but a MP, and he goes, boom, 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 boom. And then what does he say? He's saying, yeah, I always find, yeah, I always find something wrong. You've been putting up with my shit. Just like, he's telling you who he is. He ain't apologizing. And then he's like, let's have a toast for the deuce. He was considered a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's science.
Yeah.
He could have just said, I want to make a hit. Give me a hook. Oh, that's a hit. Nah, I know what they see when they see me. I'm going to give them that. Oh, my dark twisted fantasy. Oh, y'all think I'm crazy and bipolar because I said slavery is a choice? I'm going to make an album called the Ye album where it says, I hate being bipolar. I love it. Or whatever it was, right? That's science. That's a man that knows who he's making music for and how to give it to him. The soundtrack matches the lifestyle. Mm. That's science. Other people are just making magic. They just in the studio making a record. Ooh, and that's hard. And it's like, let's put that out and see what happens. You ever seen? So me working at a label, I went to work for a label for one reason. I just wanted to understand how to win, right? Because I'm a manager first. So I'm like, if I know what the bank likes, I could come home and bring it to my team and be like, I know how to sell to the bank.
Yeah.
Then I start realizing the bank don't know shit. They just got the money to invest in as many people as possible. And I'm going to lose on him and write it off. I'm going to lose on him and write it off. But I'm going to win on you. And my win on you going to look like I knew everything. But I didn't. I just had enough money to make a bet.
Yeah.
So record labels are betting on red and black. That's how they plan. Red or black. I'm going to win 50% of the time. Right? I don't care. I might not win big.
But that one win, you might get Beyonce.
Yes. And they did. Yeah. And they do. That's why she's been Lotto. On Columbia her whole career. Lotto, they do. That's why she's RCA. So
you got to have work ethic too, though. I think she worked extremely hard.
Yeah, but you got to know what to work. Like most, if you ever see somebody frustrated, like this is how I like to describe the music business. The people that's trying to get in it are running as fast as they can, but they're running in circles.
Mm.
And they running, and they tired. They be like, oh, I ain't getting nowhere. Yeah, because you're running in circles. And my thing I always like to tell people is like, let me teach you how to walk straight. That's the reason why I even started a podcast. It wasn't because I don't know nothing about doing that. I just was like, let me show you how to build something from scratch, inch by inch by inch by inch. And yeah, it might not be as sexy and it might not be as fun, but I promise you, you're going to close your eyes, look.
Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.
But look down at and straight ahead at your next step. Take your next step. And then 6 months up, look up and be like, damn, look how far we got. That's how you win.
Yo, I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find a space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go.
the reason why I became who I became was because what I realized was when labels were sending us artists, you know, most managers, like, dog, I get paid 20% regardless. I get paid 20% regardless. So I could be on vacation and you work and I still get 20%. But what I would do is I would sit in the room and almost A&R the situation. So I would sit in the room with the artist and my team and be like, what kind of records you want to make? I'll talk to the label. What kind of records you want to make? Talk to this label. What kind of records you want to make? And then I get into it. And then I figure out, like, okay, so you want this, you want this, you, okay. And then we find a way to meet there. And then my team comes in and executes. That's how I've always done it in my career. So
can you get 20% when they go on tour too?
Hell yeah. You get 20% of everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you get paid 20% of everything. So, you know, it's I just wanted to learn a game because I can't imagine, you have a family, I follow you,
yeah.
Beautiful family. I can't imagine looking at my family enjoying their life and I don't know how I did it. Mm. I just can't even comprehend that. Like, my mom, like, Mom, I'm proud of my son. Look what he, and I'm like, I don't know what I did, Mama. Shut up. You need to be quiet. I couldn't imagine that. So when most people, we had our first hit on the radio in 2007. When most people in 2014 is when, 2012, 13 is when we changed it. Most people in my position would have been celebrating their success. I told my guy, I said, hey, man, we going to learn this shit. We're going to learn this shit. I never walked in the room like I knew it all until I started feeling like I knew it all.
Yeah.
I never did that. I always just wanted to learn. So I was like asking questions like, how'd y'all do that? How'd y'all do that? And then you start realizing they don't even know.
Yeah.
Because if they knew, well, don't you think the labels would have, though, we have more money being made in the music business today than ever. Mm. We don't have not one superstar. What's the last superstar?
Mm.
We don't have superstars no more. The reason why is because.
Drake a superstar?
Yeah, but Drake came out in 2009.
Got it.
Like the
you mean new days, like
The newest artist that's performing at that's headlining arenas that I know of is Moneybagg Yo, right? Moneybagg Yo is also a product of Yo Gotti.
What is the mindset to really win in this game? Is that grit, that commit to the process, is giving
you
got? Like, I looked at the Kanye documentary, not to cut you off.
No, for sure.
He was relentless, bro.
But so the thing is you gotta know where you're going. And you gotta also be okay getting there anyway. Mm. I'm writing a book right now, and I bring up Ye, and I'm like, look at Ye. Ye was the biggest producer in hip hop when he started doing his music. Mm. That man, I didn't know. I don't think no one knew he was gonna be as big as he was, except for him. And to be honest with you, why would you brag on it? Why would you say it? It don't matter. It does not matter. Only time it matters is when you win. Do you see documentaries on failed NBA players? Only one I can think of is Lenny Cook. And the reason why, how do they reference him? He was ranked above Carmelo and LeBron the year he was in high school. They still using winners to sell a story. Mm. Nobody wants to hear the story of a loser.
Right. Facts.
So the music business is different than any other world because it's all subjective. That's the hard part. It's like, you can be the worst person in the world, but if the world likes your music, it don't matter. Yeah. Like in sports, if you could be the worst person in the world, but as long as no one knows and you're winning, you're going to get paid. Yeah. So in our business, it's all subjective. So you have so many people that want to be in it. But like we get I heard today 160,000 songs a day.
Wow.
Like, dog, like.
That's how many new songs are coming out? Or
yeah.
Wow.
160,000 songs a day. Dog, that's what? That's a million 43 songs, 1,043,000 songs or something like that a week, bro. It's too much music out here, and everybody's mediocre because everybody's comparing themselves to the bottom.
Mm.
they're not chasing the top; they chasing the bottom. I'm better than Soulja Boy, yeah, but Soulja Boy is brilliant at something. He might not be a lyricist, but he's brilliant.
He's brilliant at the ringtones at the time.
He was a kid that produced his first hit when he was 16, produced and wrote it in his mama house. Like, that's no matter what you say, that's still genius.
How you like Friday?
What's Friday? Oh, I love Friday. Yeah, for my boy manager.
He wrote that at his mom house.
Yeah. Bruh. So I love Friday. He's amazing. That voice is what get it. And he's saying something. Like, these artists are just, it's so easy that they just making it. They're not even putting no energy into it. That's why I'm a Virgo. Kobe was a Virgo. That's where mama mentality comes from. Like, it's a Virgo thing. Beyonce's a Virgo. Michael Jackson's a Virgo. Like, Virgos are like perfectionists. That's what Kobe really was doing. He wanted to make sure that the world knew he was equal or better than Michael Jordan. And you saw it in his work ethic, right? You saw it in his career. And they didn't, and most people didn't like him when he was winning. But towards the end of his career, you started looking like, because it felt like he was lucky. He's in LA, he's playing with Shaq, you know. But you look at the documentaries on Kobe, Kobe was really different. Everybody else is going home at the party 5 a.m. Kobe was going to the gym.
Yeah.
So that's what made him, I mean, even how he passed away. He passed away trying to get to his daughter's game. That man didn't let 1 second go by.
Yeah.
And that's why he was great. And so many artists want to be in the music business, but they just chase, they want to be in it for the wrong reason. You should want to be in this because you love being creative and you want to be great. You shouldn't be in this because you're trying to get some money because it ain't enough money. Mm. And it's like the lottery if that's the case. Because then it's 160,000 songs being all day. You might as well play cash three once a day and hope that you win that way. But if not, come on, you ain't gonna get nothing. So wow. I feel like I ain't gonna say I mastered it because I just think the minute you say that, that's the minute you lost it. Mm. I'm always a student of it. But I will say this. I don't call nobody for help. And everybody calls me. And that's because I add a thought process to what I'm doing. I don't just do it.
Yeah.
I remember when Atlantic called me one day and was like, yo, we got an artist that we want you to meet. I'm like, no, they didn't say that. They said, we have an artist that we want your guy to work with. Okay, what's her name? Her name is Lizzo. Cool. Well, before we get in the room with her, send it over to me at my office. Me and Lizzo sat in the office for my office for like 3 or 4 hours. And you know, my thing is, I ask the same questions every time. Let the secret out. And I'm really setting you up. How many songs you got recorded? 100. You got 100 songs recorded and you still need my help? That's not me dissing you. That's me explaining it to you that you've been doing something wrong and you should listen to some another way.
Mm.
So how many songs you got? Oh, I got this song. And I'll never forget, Lizzo was in my office. And I remember, like, you know, she's obviously a bigger girl. And I remember, like, she was like, and I put out a song and she was like, Ray, you know, when I do shows, you know, it's only 200 gay white men show up to my shows. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm looking like, what? How? That don't even make sense to me. But there's an answer to that. So now I'm like, I look up Truth Hurts video that blew up. That video was out for 6 months already at this point. So I'm looking, I'm like, oh wow, she's gonna be huge. And I was like, because more women look like her than look like Beyonce.
Mm.
And she's giving women, and she's showing her body and taking pride in it, and she's gonna give women pride about themselves. Even if you slim, she gonna give you pride about yourself. Cause you looking like, man, she confident, I could be confident. So I knew she was gonna go. So now I'm looking like, damn, this song is a hit. And Atlantic is still calling us. What the hell going on? So I'm talking to Lizzo and I'm like, what's the problem? You know? And then, you know, I'm an artist whisperer. So, you know, she started, you know, expressing the frustration, which I love, because now I'm getting to the real you. And she was like, you know, Ray, I just got gay men showing up to my shows, and you know, my label got me in Atlanta, and I'm waiting for Rock City, Mike Will, and Metro Boomin to get available, and I'm just here. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's missing? And she's like, I don't know, but my label told me that if I gave him a hit, Mike Begain would love it. Ding, 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 ding. I know the answer. I know what's wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Begain, why would Mike Begain know about your music? And Mike Begain at the time was head of pop playlisting for Spotify. So I'm like, why doesn't Majima know who you are? And she was like, who is Majima? And I'm like, Majima's a black girl just like you. Majima's my friend, by the way. And she was head of R&B. Mm. I'm like, Majima should know about you. And she was like, well, Ray, I'm a pop artist. Who told you that? Ray, I'm pop. Nah, no disrespect. They see nigga first. Mm. Give a fuck what you say. Wherever you go, they gonna see a nigga first. And I was like, let me ask you a question. Name the biggest female artist. Name the most popular female artist in the world. And she says, Beyonce, Ree, Nicki. And then and Cardi B was just coming up, and she was like, and I was like, stop there. You just named four, I don't even need five. What do they all have in common? And she's like, I said, they all unapologetically black and ghetto. Beyonce became that when she became ghetto. When she dropped that drunken love and talking about riding on that wood and roll up the partition, please, I don't want the world to see Beyonce on her knees. Like, that's when it became like pandemonium. It was so much pandemonium that Saturday Night Live has a skit called Beyonce is Black. Where they're like, no, Beyonce's black? You mean she's one of y'all? And it's like a whole pandemonium. That's because she came back black and became bigger. Because the one thing white people love about black people is our sauce. So why the fuck you trying to appeal to them? I ain't never seen a white person go to a soul food restaurant saying, what healthy you got for me? They say, what's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, we soul food. So I told Lizzo that, I was like, I know what's missing. That's the answer why gay white men are showing up to your shows, because you think you're a pop artist. You are black, baby girl. When the world sees you, you can make the greatest pop song, but you are black. Remember that. And I called
you now. Pop now?
No, she's still black. Yeah. She's still black. I mean, dog, I can break down the science of music. Like everything, your boots tells me something. The music tells me something. Everything tells us something. You just got to pay attention. Mm. What are you trying to tell me? So, for example, when we do Lotto Big Energy record, right? It's to a pop beat. Dun-dun, boom, 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 boom. Guess what? If you're a white person, that beat feels good, right? Exactly. But when you hear, I heard you got big dick energy, you don't think that's a white girl saying that, do you? You know that's a nigga.
Yeah.
So now if you listening to the radio for the first time, it feels funny, it feels friendly, it doesn't feel ghetto, and you hear saying big dick energy, now you know it gotta be a black girl. That's why it works for all audiences. That's why it works. So every song works, but if you're not intentionally making your music, it don't matter. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something, bro, and I don't want to mess up no strategy because I know what we're here to talk about. But I'm gonna tell you this isn't.
Ain't no strategy.
Let me tell you why I say that. You don't need to know everything about the music business to become filthy rich in it.
Mm, yeah.
You need to know everything about what you're doing and how to sell it to the audience.
Yeah.
If you know that, dog, you know how many people that were in bad deals? Dog, Drake was signed to three people.
Right. Wayne, Baby.
Wayne, Baby, and Jay Prince.
Wow.
He had three people. You think those
he
deals
still
look
is?
The No, I'm saying, do you think those deals look the same?
Yeah.
Hell no. Nah. You heard he's got $500 million. Them deals don't look the same. You so worried about the master ownership of this little record, you not even realizing that you should be focused on how to be here 20 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2 Chainz is on Def Jam. 2 Chainz owns his masters now. Of course he does. But guess what? He was signed to Luda, DTP, through to Def Jam. He went and had to build his own buzz. And then everybody was trying to sign him. That's what he said. Labels keep calling. I need 2 mil for this shit. Def Jam already knew, like, oh, say that all you want, but you sign to us. We have rights.
Yeah.
So now but guess what? Who cares? It's his now.
Yeah.
It's all his now. Why is it all his? Because he worked. Mm. Why are you worried about how good or bad the deal is? Worry about how good or bad you are. Because if you get you together, the deals come together, baby. It's all come together.
The deals work in my favor.
The deal, dog, the deals will work in your favor
Drake
every time.
Any deal he want.
Dog, he can, the money. Has a jet. You ever seen Coming to America? Maybe say, when I say the nigga got his own money, when I say he got a jet, the man got
a
jet.
He got it for free too.
Yes.
Yeah, which
because
is
he's a star.
Yeah.
And my thing is, why are you so worried about how much you own your master royalty, how much you own in your publishing? Dog, let me tell you something. I do very well. I've done very well for myself. I live in a $1 million house that I paid for. I bought it. All my cars paid for. My mom lives in a mansion. I'm doing very well, but I get mailbox money.
I like mailbox
money. I don't want no more. I don't want no more mailbox money.
You don't want no more?
Nah. Let me tell you what I mean. Yeah. I get the aggregate, right? I get the money. Let me tell you what happened. Changed my life. And I don't want to put the person business out there, so I try to be as discreet as I can. There's a certain artist that we're working with. I paid a nice fee, 6 figures, to come in and do the project. And then one day I went to this person's show. And you know, I'm just there to support. Like, it's your show. You singing our songs. And I'm talking to my guy, and he's like, man, you know how much you got paid for the show? I was like, how much? $500,000. Then I'm like, man, I ain't doing shit. That's $500,000 every time I stop. Somebody just told me that Beyonce, I don't know if this is true, somebody just called me today and was like, Beyonce made $17 million
a night?
In New York. And she did 3 dates at Meth Life. $17 million a night.
Wow.
That's not mailbox money. I'm in town, I'm here to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I want that money because that money comes in every day. I know I got money. It's August. August is the pay month for people in the music industry. I know I got 6 figures worth of royalties coming to me this month at the end of the month. I know I do.
Wow.
That ain't nothing. Yeah. If I was managing that artist, that would have been $500,000. That would have been $100,000 I would have made that night.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow night I'm in a different city making that again.
That'd have been $1.7 million or $3 million.
No, I'm talking about for the artist I've said that was making $500,000 a night.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
man, I
would have
got $100,000 a night.
Yeah.
And here's the best part. I ain't even gotta be there no more.
Wow.
You going on the road. I'm your manager. I'm at home running the business. I'm sending somebody on the road with you that we gotta pay.
You could do that?
That's what every manager does.
They don't expect you to be there with them?
Hell no. Nah. You don't want your manager with you everywhere you go. If you a superstar, and you want your manager out getting deals on your behalf, running your business. Nah, most managers ain't on the road with their
artists. Beyonce manager was her pop, though.
Yeah, and now her manager's all work for her.
Yeah.
So she hired us. So she has a manager that handles touring. She has a manager that handles publishing.
17 million a night is nice.
I heard she made 17 million a night at MetLife. Three nights in a row.
I just stay in New York. You know what I'm saying?
Come on. When you start thinking about,
she got three nights in Atlanta.
Yeah. Man, when you think about how much money that's made, the mailbox money, cool. But that money, listen, bro, knock on wood, whatever. If something happened to me today, that money going to go to my kids for the rest of their life. It doesn't matter.
That's why I like music, bro. Like, it's not too many things that you can create that really pays you forever. It's not many. It's very few. You got to think. All I'm thinking about is you say, well, I managed the guy who writing all these songs, and you getting a percentage of every one of these songs in perpetuity.
Yeah, it comes in. But my thing is this. If I know it's coming in.
And you know he write hits. So you're going to write another hit.
He writing hits right now.
Yeah.
Right now. He's somewhere writing a hit.
And I saw his Instagram. He seems so chill.
Oh, no. Nah, he's like America's black dad, man. It's crazy how much people like him because he's also not coming in a room trying to take your credit. He don't give a fuck if you say you wrote the entire song. That doesn't matter to him. I get paid no matter what.
How do that work when you got 2-3 songs? Like, I just wrote Better Have My Money. But y'all wrote everything else. I just wrote You Better Have My Money.
Well, in the urban world, which is black music, we would isolate your part, isolate my part, isolate everybody's contribution, and that's how we get paid. In the pop world, which I love, everything is equal. And the reason why I love that so much is because if everything is equal, then it doesn't matter if you wrote a lyric. You're not thinking about your contribution. You're getting the same percentage anyway. So you don't care about, you want the best song. Unlike urban music where I'm trying to make sure my words get taken. My words might be the wrong words. I don't give a fuck. I got it. That's how I get paid. So when I start working in the pop world, it just changed my entire life. I actually tell you because we sold it. So we wrote a song for Nicki. We wrote the hook called Only. You remember the song with her, Drake, Chris Brown, and Wayne, right? And when we wrote the song, this is my first time working with Dr. Luke, bro. Like, this is when I was like, this is when we were from like winning to like science of winning. So, you know, we wrote the hook. We wrote Chris Brown part.
Is that the name of your book, Science of Winning?
Nah, the name of my book is called The Four Artist Agreements. It's okay. And by, I ain't gonna lie, bro, I'm like 90% done. It's so
fire.
Good. It's probably the most important thing I've ever made outside of my kids.
Yeah.
But So we did this song called Only. We wrote Chris Brown version. Now, let's say if I did that same song with Mike Will, a black producer, right? Mike Will would have kept 50%. And then I would have been left to fight Drake, Nicki, Wayne, and Chris Brown's team for my percentage of publishing out of that 50. Mm. And what you don't know about artists is that big artists have their shit set up. So a big artist might say, my fee is $100,000 and I get 17% of the song no matter what. Right? So imagine three big artists saying, man, I get 16% no matter what. Man, we would have been left with 3% fighting for. So you know me, I'm like, as soon as I heard, I was like, this Nicki single, no BS, Neo. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to fight everybody to get 10%. That's all I thought to myself. And then Luke was like, so you know, I'm like, I gotta fight everybody. So Luke is like, he sends me the splits, his team. And the splits was, it was seven writers on the song. Nicki, Drake, Wayne, my guy Teron, Timothy, my other guy, Teron's brother, Dr. Luke, and Circuit. Seven writers. Mm. We split 100% seven ways. So we wound up getting, I think 100% seven ways is like 13% or something like that, a little over 13%. So we wound up getting, because I had two writers on the song, 26% of that record. I would have never got that in the urban world. And at that moment, I said, I don't want to work with urban producers no more.
Wow.
Because y'all don't, but that's why urban music is suffering so bad, because the song is suffering because everybody is chasing money.
And Flo Rida, a pop star now.
Flo Rida, he's been that. He has a machine around him. I did a couple records on Flo Rida, my guys did. But he has a machine around him. That's why it works.
Yo, what's up with, it seemed like people go 50 Cent on tour, 60, 70% of his tour, not in the U.S. It seemed like they go out of the country, go pick up the Brinks truck.
Yeah, but I like that money. He can wake up and decide, I want to go on tour and make $20 million in the next 4 months.
Yeah.
That's not paper, that's not mailbox money. That's cash money. Yeah. I want to deal in that business.
Yeah.
But the hard part is finding an artist that listens. You know, most artists don't listen. So you can't be coachable.
Bro,
how can I coach you?
That, bro, I be looking at these artists. I talk about people from Philly. I won't mention their names, but it's a lot of young boys that get hot and then they fall off. You know Mont Brown?
No, No, so, I think I know mine. I know. I heard his name before.
But I'm like, man, what be going on? I'm like, yo, they don't want to listen.
Nah,
they,
you know,
they got to figure it out.
They got, the minute that you give somebody money, and here's the unfortunate part about my business. You don't know who anyone is until they get their first check. Mm. Usually it takes a couple years to get there. So I might be working with you for 24 months. How about this? You don't know who you are until you get your first check. Mm. Some people get that first check and they like I know my, what I was, is two types of people. One person gets their first check and is like, oh my God, whatever I did to get this, I'm going to keep doing it because I want to keep the money flowing. And then you have another guy that's like, I'm about to blow this shit. I got money now, I'm rich, I'm about to go blow it. But they don't realize that the minute you stop to blow it, you stop working, which means it creates a gap in how the money comes in. Because now, in our business, you get paid, I get paid a year from now what I do today. So if you take 6 months of enjoying, the money gonna be gone, and you gonna have 6 months of no money coming in, and now, you know, I always say this, you know the worst thing than living in the cold your whole life? You know what that is? The worst thing than being in the freezing cold your whole life is getting exposed to the heat. And then having to go back to the freezing cold.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, I know what it feels like to, yeah. Look at this, I know what it feels like to touch that. And now I got to start over? Hell no. I'm going to sell dope now. Or I'm going to do something stupid. And they do it every time. So I always, by the way, I tell labels this. I'm like, when I was working at a label, I said this, man, we need to bring financial advisors in here. We need to teach these. Like, dog, in the NBA, you give a kid a check, you got trainers. You got schedules, you got financial advisors, mm-hmm. You got agents, you got all these people that surrounding you with love so you don't fuck up. And you have money coming in every 2 weeks because you're in the NBA.
Yeah.
You give a kid from the projects who you know come from nothing, $1 million, and you send him right back to the projects. What the hell you think gonna happen to him?
Burn it.
He got $1 million, but people treating him like he got 10.
Yep.
The money goes. And once the money is gone, guess what? He need more money. When he need more money, what is he doing? Selling another piece of himself. The next thing you know, I don't want you to know I fell off Neo, because Neo saw me and I had on a gold chain and I was riding a Benz. I don't want to pull up in a Camry. So now I'm like, yo, Don Vito, you can give me a Benz? All right, cool, I give you 10%. Now I'm selling off pieces of myself because I got to keep the image up. Fuck the image. The only thing that matters is the work ethic. It's the only thing that matters. And if you pay attention to artists that's breaking, the only artists that are breaking are connected to a subsidiary. Mm. Only artist breaking, because labels don't care about breaking you. They make money off the exposure of your masters. They just want you to give them a hit.
Yeah.
And bro, if you know how the money is broken down from the label side, unbelievable. It's pimping.
They making a lot of money.
Nah, bro. Yeah, they are, but they cut a deal already. That's what people don't get. So let me tell you something. So we think you get paid you got 1 million streams, that's $4,000. But look at it from this standpoint. Every artist.
1 million streams equal $4,000?
Yeah.
From who?
Spotify. So let's just focus on Spotify.
They send
right?
you $4,000, million streams.
Yeah, they send whatever the distributor that put you out $4,000. So 1 million plays only issue $4,000.
Yeah, 100 right? million plays.
100 million plays, you're going to make, you're going to make 400,000. Yeah. 10 million plays, you're going to make 40. 10 million plays, I make 40 grand.
Which meaning it's not a lot, correct?
No, it's not a lot at all. Yeah. But look at it like this now. And by the way, to go platinum, it's 150 million plays to go platinum.
Crazy.
But look at it like this. Look at it like this. So here's what the labels did. What you don't know is that every deal is different. So Taylor Swift gets a way different royalty mm-hmm. than the newer artist that they just signed to their label. But Spotify plays stream for stream. Because Taylor Swift album, if it was in stores, $19.99. Don Vito, nobody know him, $3.99. We making more money of yours, and you're making more money of yours. We only getting $3.99. So his deal and your deal are way different. It's stream for stream. So now, every artist should get paid the same, right? Nope, they don't. They get paid according to the royalty that they're supposed to get from the jump. Mm. So labels got smart. They cut a deal with Spotify. They said, don't pay us. Spotify agreed to give every major company 70% of their income. So if Spotify makes $1 billion, the labels get 700,000. 700 million, I'm sorry. So it's not stream for stream, but it's all based on market share. So it's like, and I hate to get into numbers and stuff, so it's like, let's use a round number. So the music industry made $100 million, right? They made $100 million. So the way Spotify does it is they cut, Universal had 40%, Warner had 30%, Sony had 30%. So they gave Universal $400 million that quarter, Sony $30 million that quarter, $30 million. Not stream for stream. It's not stream for, it's market share. That's why these labels are signing so many young talent. Because if I know your song is gonna get 750 million streams, you're gonna make my market share money go up. I'm not gonna get paid for 750 million streams. I'm gonna get paid for the market share that you gave me. So I'll give you $2 million. I'm gonna get that money back 10 times because of how my deal is set up.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna never get no royalty. Dog, let me tell you something. Ask any major artist, have they ever received a royalty check? I'm talking about superstars. No. You know what they receive? Advances. You know why they receive advances? Because if I give you an advance, you're always in a hole. Mm. You can't count how much I'm making over here.
Wow.
So here's an advance. So artists think, I just robbed the bank. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
They just give you some
They just
some
giving
hush
you what
money.
They know is coming in anyway. They giving you what they owe you and then some because they know you're going to make, because they going, because the more they give you, the more they own your stuff. Even if they don't own it and they license it. Because a lot of artists say they own their masters. You don't own your masters, bro. You don't own your masters unless you can take your masters from RCA and put it on TuneCore and get 100% of the money.
RCA and TuneCore, break down.
Okay, so RCA is a major label, right? So like Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys, Chris Brown, they all sign an RCA.
Yeah.
I just use them as an example because I think they're a great label. But if you say you own your masters, you don't own it if you can't take it and park it where you want. It's like you own your house. You do until you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah.
And the government says, it's our house now.
Exactly.
They don't really own it. You know what I'm saying? You own it with a fee.
Yeah, facts.
So these artists that say they own their masters, they really owe the label, took out a loan against those masters, and that's how they do it. And that's how they own your shit because everybody want to check. But the only thing I say makes artists work in a favor, if I'm being honest with you, the only thing that works in an artist's favor is that they getting that money every day. They wake up to a check.
That's
they tell you,
money too.
Play Twitch for $100,000. All you gotta do is get on Twitch for $100,000. Oh man, I got such and such. They want you to show up to their kid's party. They got $50,000. Oh, such and such want you to come to such and such. They got $20,000. You get paid so much money as an artist that, on my masters, I get that later, but I'm making so much money a day, I don't care.
Crazy.
So yeah, that's the game.
Listen, I appreciate you coming in, bro. We got to do a part two just on other business because you just brilliant. I remember we was at the sesh. You spitting out game shows, TV, movies, all type of stuff.
For sure.
And you didn't talk about no music at the sesh.
Nah, but
you were just in your business bag over there. I mean, music is business. But
I tell people how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yeah,
I agree. If you ain't going to give everything your all, then nothing is for you.
Yeah.
It don't matter if it's this game, nothing is for you.
Yeah.
If you ain't gonna give it your all. So for me, it's like business is business. All we doing is selling. We selling. I just so happen to sell records. Some people sell books. I'm about to be selling books. So for me, it's like, I just look at it like that. And you know, I would love to come back. And I wanna just say something, man, to everybody that wanna mess with me. This is Ray Daniels, the Culture Referee, and I want you guys to tap in to get my free blueprint. All you got to do is text DREAMERS to 404-737-7510. 404-737-7510. Text me and I'm going to give you three things that you can do to win in our business. This business is easy, bro. I ain't going to lie to you. Remember I said this. I haven't said this on my own pod. I'm going to say it on yours because I want somebody to hold me accountable. My book is going to change the trajectory of the music business.
I believe it.
And I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. Donald Passman has the number one selling book in the music industry. And Donald Passman. It's called Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business. Yeah. It's like, you bought it, right? Anybody who's in the music business, everybody in the music business has bought that book. I bought it when I first started. But
it's a good title too, though.
Yeah, but it's written legally. So if you're a kid 15 years old trying to make it in the music business, you don't even know what a royalty rate is for a ringtone. You ain't even got there yet. My book is the prequel to his book. My book is the book you need to read if you want to make it in the music business. My book is the book that you read that even if you don't, even if you just follow what I'm saying in a book, you can win, guaranteed.
Thanks.
So I feel like when artists, young, and I made it for 14 and 15 year olds. It's for everybody, but it's 14, 15 year olds. And I believe that any artist, if they read it, they're gonna win because I'm just telling you how you can win, not. And I'm giving you clear examples of how you can win. Like I might say something like, you need to, you know, always walk in a room and smile. And I'm like, yeah, it might not mean nothing, but guess what? People remember how people treated them. People remember how, and if you treat everybody good, then everybody loves you, you know? And I used, not to keep talking, but I used to work for McDonald's when I was 16. That was my first job. And when I worked at McDonald's, they told me, you have to, our goal is to get the customer in and out in 30 seconds. That's our goal. So I got fired from McDonald's because I was a mess up. And then I got hired to work at Chick-fil-A. And when I was in Chick-fil-A, when they was interviewing me, they said, we're going to hire you. How much did you make at McDonald's? I said, $4.25 an hour. He said, I'm going to give you $6.25 an hour. Mm. I was like, damn, at 16, that's great. $2 raise. And he said, but you know what the $2 is for? I'm paying for your smile. I don't care if you're in a kitchen cooking. You better smile.
Mm.
And when you think about Chick-fil-A, you think about excellent service.
Yeah.
And when you think about McDonald's, you think about quick food. Mm. They both getting their thing across. So when I work with people, the first thing I tell people is, when you're in the music business, even if you're a superstar, you're providing a service. And as long as you service your audience properly and never forget that, you'll be in the game forever. Yeah. But if you don't, what my OG would say, won't be around next year.
Bro.
So thank you,
this
bro.
This was straight fire, bro. Thank you for coming on, y'all. Make sure y'all tap into Ray's amazing book on the way, bestseller
almost
on the
finished.
Way.
It's going to be New York Times bestseller, I promise y'all.
But listen, make sure y'all go buy 50 copies. I'm going to make sure I go buy a bunch of them, give them out to everybody, y'all. We'll drop some links in the description so y'all can go ahead and show love. But y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in. This episode is called The Music Business.
Let's we get out. It, Let's my go. Brother.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting an extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below. Share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso. Same exact name on Twitter. Same exact name on TikTok. And follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.